Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Good day, Jerry Cooey, Milton, Florida. Good discussion today. Alex, for the life of me, I can't remember who told me, but somebody had indicated to me that was something you wanted to tell me. I thought I'd give you a chance. Is there something you needed to say to me? Can't remember it?
Is this a city matter?
Well, Mr. your Cooey. Employee. Well, if you can't think of anything, that's...
Mr. Cooey, normally when we have the public input, it's to the council.
Yeah. That's fine. This is something. I just wanted to make sure. You okay? Nothing you need to tell me?
I'm just baffled.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
As all of us are. You know what I suspect? I don't know. I didn't make any calls to find out. I'm guessing what it sounds like is when Jimmy is talking to Billy at home, and he says some stuff about Jeff, okay? And then somehow Jeff hears about it, and then when they're at lunch that day in the cafeteria, he says to Billy, I forget who I had in this scenario. He says, I heard you got something to say to me. You got something to say to me? That's what it sounded like to me. I don't know, but that's what it seemed like to me. So this was a little bit of the beginning of the drama. And then you had Howard Steele, a political candidate, show up and want some answers about public records, which has been a major drama over the last 6 months to a year in Milton.
Other than the mayor, is there anybody else that has not submitted their public records that have been requested? Mr. Cusack, have you submitted all your public records that you were requesting?
I don't know.
Your answer
should... He says, don't know. This is kind of a weird answer.
I don't know.
Your answer should be yes. Because if you were... Your answer still should be yes. I've submitted all my public records requests.
Well, first of all, sir, I don't have the answer to you.
Yes, you do.
Well, yes, you do. City council member says I don't have to answer to you, a member of the public?
Well, first of all, sir, I don't have the answer to you.
Yes, you do.
Well, yes, rather than have a debate, please,
I asked a question.
Well, what public records request are you referencing?
Other than you, the mayor, has all the other council members submitted their public records request?
Now, remember, a lot of this has to do with the mayor's not submitting many of her requested public records, communications between her and various members, council members, the former clerk, all things that are related to, all of the city manager drama that we had. Mike Cusack even said that he's deleted public records off of his phone. He deletes emails and off of his private email that he forwards to himself. There's all this stuff, okay? So Howard Steele's, stirring the pot a little bit and saying, what's going on? Remember, Mayor Lindsay is actually engaged in litigation against the city because she won't provide the records that Alex Andrade wants from that time period. And there's a whole big story about that, too. Back to the interaction between Howard Steele and Mike Cusack, City Councilman Mike Cusack.
I specifically asked Mr. Cusack. He said, apparently no.
That's not what I said.
You don't know.
Well, members of council...
That's not an adequate answer.
Well, the members of council will have to look at the prior public records and get with the clerk and the city attorney and make sure they can answer your question. But to answer the question challenging.
Mr. Powell, have you submitted all your public records that have been requested of you?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Farah, have you submitted all your public records that have been requested from you?
As far as I know, I've complied with the law.
Mr. Jarrett?
Absolutely.
Mrs. Means?
Yep.
So he's just asking the other city council members what is not a hard question. Have you complied with the public records request? Yes. 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 Mike Cusack. I'm not sure.
Mr. Hawthorne?
Why? Yeah.
Mr. Sebastio?
Absolutely.
Mr. Snow?
Yes, sir.
So, and the mayor has not, obviously, because...
Actually, I have, sir.
Oh, you have. Since the hearing?
I had already produced the public records to the best of my knowledge and ability.
No, I didn't ask you to the best of knowledge and ability. I asked you, have you submitted all your public records requests? And you have not. Are you going to ask the gallery to calm themselves down? Because I can't hear you.
I'm so focused on you, I didn't realize. Could y'all please calm down? Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
You're very selective as to when you want to apply the
I appreciate your criticism. Yes,
council.
Sir.
Right.
See, I promised you it was going to get better. I know it was a slow start to this week's episode, okay, but you have to have context. This sort of all began with the discussion. I mean, we're into the public comment period now, so it can be on any topic, but I know it was a long, slow discussion about the wastewater treatment plant and all that and PFAS and whatnot. And it's good stuff, by the way. Go back to the 5 o'clock hour and the 6 o'clock hour and listen to the open. But Howard Steele now is, you know, in lighted up mode with Mike Cusack and Heather Lindsay. And keep in mind, Heather Lindsay is, you know, my theory. Okay, I'm not the only one holding this theory. She got reelected 2 years ago. There are a handful of candidates who are running on a basically anti-Alex Andrade kind of platform. They want to oust several of the board members, Jeff Snow, Roxanne Mies, I presume Casey Powell, Gavin Hawthorne. There's, depending on who was elected in what year. They want to create a majority that would align with Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack and Heather Lindsay and fire Ed Spears and fire Alex Andrade and maybe theoretically hire Heather Lindsay back as the attorney. Okay, that's so put all that in your hopper to think about anything in terms of, you know, is Heather Lindsay being more diplomatic these days and why? Is it because she just is? Maybe. I mean, you know, certainly a possibility. Is it because she's playing electoral long game? Maybe also. I don't know. But here goes. Actually, we'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens, who lives in Milton, always finds it fascinating and cringy, right?
It's very fascinating. Oh, my goodness.
Sometimes it's fascinating because the actual issues are fascinating.
Right.
Sometimes it's just fascinating to watch kindergartners bicker. And
with more words.
Yeah.
Bigger words.
Right. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident to let you know about. West Fairfield Drive and Hollywood Avenue. No roadblock associated with that one, but I'm seeing some westbound delays. Also, with the Highway 29 and 9 Mile in all directions at that light, I'm seeing some major delays associated with that. Other than that, everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Everything's good on the roads, not so much in the Milton City Council meeting. Back to Howard Steele, Mike Cusack, and Heather Lindsay, and, well, here.
Another question I have for Mr. Cusack is, you paid the state $1,500 in restitution.
That's the ethics violation for not producing.
Am I not correct?
I haven't paid the state anything, sir.
Were you fined $1,500 for an ethics violation? Were you fined for an ethics violation?
That's correct.
Okay,
were you represented
paid it
by council on this?
I was represented by
council. Why don't you...
I'm asking the city council member a question. I would appreciate if you didn't interrupt me, Mayor.
Well, this is a time for public input for the council, and you have a specific issue with the councilman, and that can be taken up after this meeting.
And I want to know... No, it's not going to be taken up
after
this meeting.
Yes, it can be.
As in, take it up in private, not when we're here in public to have to see all of this drama that Andrew McKay is going
to
play on the radio show.
Because this is a time for city business, not a personal issue.
It's not a personal issue. I'm talking about city business.
Well, you sound like it's very personal to you, sir.
No, it is not.
I'm asking you to rein in your personal feelings.
I'm not.
And please simply make your public input statement.
Again.
Yes, sir, I am, because
you
are not following the rules.
You're violating my freedom of speech.
I am not violating your rights, sir. I'm asking you to follow the rules for public input that we've established.
When are you going to make restitution to the city?
Restitution to the
state.
When
are you going to make, you made restitution to the state, your ethics violations. When are you going
to
make restitution to the city?
As soon as they send
it. The city was harmed, not the state. When are you going to make restitution to the city? Would you please instruct the gallery to shut their pie hole?
This audience needs to recognize that Mr. Steele is giving public input at this time, and he is the only one who should be heard.
Now, I will say that among the many things you can accuse me of being guilty of, rewarding bad behavior might be one of them. But if all of the hustle and bustle peanut gallery keeps making noise and he says, be quiet, I can't hear you, and they keep making noise and he tells them to shut their pie hole, I mean, it's pretty entertaining. You don't often hear that in a public meeting.
Only one who should be heard.
When Mr. Cusack plans to make restitution to the city for what he costs the city, not the state.
Wait, can you answer that?
I can't answer that.
So you have no plans to offset what you cost the city that caused your ethics violation.
Have you been advised that you cost the city something and you have to make restitution?
So you don't believe the city, you cost nothing for the city, no time, there's no opportunity cost to the city whatsoever for what the actions you took, just like the mayor. You don't think there's any cost to the city by your delay in providing the public records request? You don't think there's any cost to the city whatsoever? Of course there is. There's the opportunity cost. There's opportunity cost that Mr. Cusack caused by us not having a city manager, by having the fiasco surrounding what he did. So, yes, there was an opportunity cost. There was a cost to the city. And I want to know when the city's going to be made whole again. But you hadn't thought about that.
We appreciate your comments, sir.
No,
thank
you. Don't.
You.
I know you don't. And don't say you do, because you don't.
Well, you don't know what's in my mind, sir. I'm stating the truth.
What Howard Steele is saying is that Mike Cusack should pay back the city for all of the money it's wasted on trying to get his public records, and also pay back the city for having interfered with the hiring of the former city manager who didn't last all that long, Scott Collins. That was the ethics violation that he's talking about. And so this is not over yet, because Jimmy Messick, who's on the other side, okay, you know, there's the Crips and the Bloods, and, you know, Howard Steele's with the Crips and, you know, Jimmy Messick is with the Bloods, the Heather Lindsay, Mike Cusack, Marilyn Farrow group, versus the, I guess Howard is aligned with Ed Spear. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, that Ed Spears, Randy Jorgensen, Alex Andrade, even though Randy's no longer at the city, and Jeff Snow and Casey Powell and Gavin Hawthorne. So Jimmy Messick gets up there in what I think is a dig at Howard Steele, if I'm not misinformed here.
Jimmy, yes, Messick, 6830 Pine Street, Milton, Florida. Seems like that someone who doesn't pay their real estate tax.
Point of order, Mayor. This is not city business.
I don't give a crap if it isn't. He didn't care about his
point of order
speeches.
He was talking about city
business. All right,
business.
Point of order. But somebody that doesn't pay their real estate
point
taxes shouldn't have a voice
point
in
of order.
What goes on
point
in this
of order.
2 points of order.
I think it's quite rude for y'all to say point of order when someone's making a short comment. But
Mayor,
I hear you
like
saying that you
think about somebody else in the audience. Or
it has nothing to do with
someone who came up here and made his criticisms.
But
inspired that comment from the member of the public.
To a councilman.
So you now have three different city council members scolding Heather Lindsay for not shutting him up for talking smack about another member of the public, which is what was going on. I think the other voice is Matt Jarrett. I think it was Sherry Sebastio, and Jeff Snow was the one who kept saying point of order to begin with.
Is it not city business that people pay their real estate taxes?
No, it's not city business.
Not city of Milton.
Okay. Well, we depend on those taxes being paid because we get a portion.
Again, Mayor, you didn't.
Don't we, Mr. Jorgensen?
You did not stop Jerry Cooey from trying to ask a question that was a personal question to
I
our
I did.
Attorney.
I interrupted
Eventually,
it once I knew
did.
What it was.
It
yes.
took you long enough.
So. Well, I didn't know if Mr. Andrade wanted to answer him. I didn't know if Mr. Andrade had a statement. I was unprepared for that event to occur. So
said,
thank you for commenting, yeah. But recognize that I will do the best I can as the circumstances evolve. I don't have a crystal ball.
It's
I don't
selective.
Know what people are going to say and do, sir. Now, we need to wrap up this meeting. Do you have any other comments,
yes,
members
just,
of the public?
How's your stress level right now? it's just amazing to watch every single time. Just when you think it's gone away, you think the drama has subsided. Oh, no, it's never subsided. It's always deep personal grudges. And then Pam Mitchell. Here's what I want to... The reason I want to play this last clip for you is I want to give credit to Randy Jorgensen. In his what I can describe as his final act as city manager before he's fully retired... He manages to get the meeting back on track by ignoring it and pretending it's not even happening.
Someone doesn't pay their real estate taxes within the city. That is taking money from the city. So it is sort of tit for tat. No point in everybody getting down in the mud and wallowing in it, but it.
I wouldn't argue it if...
Mayor, if I could,
yes,
I want to... I want to first thank the people that I've worked with at the city of Milton for the last 6.5 years. The employees here are outstanding, and I've enjoyed every moment I've spent with them.
See, he just like, I'm just going to pretend all this isn't even happening, and I'm going to say goodbye. And he had some really, I thought, heartfelt things to say. Like, basically, he came back because good long-term friends of his, like Joe Cook, who works as the city public works director, asked him to come back, and he couldn't go to the grocery store and run into these people and say that he'd turned down a friend who asked him for help in a time of need. And so that's why he came back. And then he kind of ended it. Very sweet comments, quite frankly. And then...
I'm not coming back again, folks. I'm done this time, and there's probably people in the audience and people out there that will be as thankful for that as I am. But it's a wonderful community. I hope, you know, you hear a lot this political season about unity. God, would that be refreshing in the city of Milton?
A boy can dream. 725 on News Radio 92.3. There's your Milton City Council. Now look around the theater for the day. Hope you enjoyed it. 725 on News Radio 92.3. John, how you doing over there as a resident of Milton?
I don't know whether to be embarrassed or, you know, just keep laughing.
You laugh. You laugh because that's how you not cry. What's going on the road, sir?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we're starting to see delay on I-10 eastbound as you're heading toward Highway 29. Not much of a delay there. Also, if you're coming Highway 29 southbound to 9 Mile, going to see some major delays right in that area also, so just be prepared. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you in a situation where you need a miracle? You need God to do something that seems impossible? The Bible explains that without God, we can do nothing, but with Him, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and explains that, and I quote, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." He's speaking in the context of a virgin conception. If God can bring about the miracle of a biological impossibility, don't you think He can solve your problems? In Jeremiah 33:3, God challenges those who need a miracle when He says this, and I quote, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I urge you, call upon Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
I am Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. The UWF Historic Trust will be hosting their Open House and Community Day on Saturday, September 7th. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel on September 5th to learn more about Open House and all of the fun activities happening on the site that day. That's tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hey, I just bought that.
Hey, you're playing it kind of loud, weren't you?
Is there a law against loud music?
Hey, let's watch that attitude, boy. This way, I don't have to take you in.
We'll be right back.
can't see the cop flip him underneath the chin with his driver's license at that moment, I'm not sure that we're as close to friends as you think we are. Hey, Barberry Plumbing, they'll take care of you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. A drip, a leak, a weird sound in the wall. Water pressure's not good. The water temperature's not good. Whatever the plumbing need is, Barberry Plumbing, they'll take care of you. 477-8782. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, please don't shut your pie hole and tell me the news.
Well, a Chicago man is now charged with allegedly shooting four passengers on a commuter train earlier this week. Investigators say 30-year-old Ronnie Davis was wearing a mask when he shot and killed four people on a Chicago Transit Authority Blue Line train on Monday. He's now charged with four counts of first-degree murder.
All right, thank you so much, Dave. We'll talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves coming up next, right after local news and Fox News.
Fox News, I'm C.J. Papa. 61 days until the November 5th presidential election. Fox's Mark Meredith at the White House.
It is the sprint to the finish for the 2024 presidential election. Today, both major party presidential candidates on the trail. Vice President Harris, she'll be talking about the economy up in New Hampshire. And former President Trump, he'll be talking to voters right here on Fox.
The town hall begins at 9 p.m. Eastern on Fox's Hannity. Was the Secret Service prepared or not prepared to protect former President Trump July 13? He was nearly killed by an assassin's bullet. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley says whistleblowers confirmed that to him.
They were pulled off those cases, said, here, you're going to go guard the former president of the United States. Watch this webinar. Oops, it doesn't really work. Oh, that's all right. Go out into the field anyway.
A Republican on Jesse Waters primetime. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 76 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola today. Officials at the Pensacola airport say about 5,600 passengers made their way through the airport over Labor Day weekend. That's up 20 to 25% from a normal day.
It wasn't still higher than the peak days that we had over the summer season, which is the bigger season for Pensacola.
That is Todd Payne, the assistant airport director. He says on a busy summer travel day, there can sometimes be up to 7,000 passenger emplanements. He says the summer is Pensacola's peak travel season. The airport currently in the midst of expanding. They'll have a new parking facility up this fall and a terminal expansion planned over the next few years. The city did receive $5 million in state funding for the terminal expansion, but was passed over for federal funding on that project this year. Well, there is still time to make your voice heard regarding the new Palafox project, which aims to completely redesign the downtown street.
Palafox.com comment form. I think we're over 100 comments submitted. We're very appreciative of that. Obviously, some with critique, some with suggestions, some with a lot of enthusiasm about changes anywhere you want to be on the spectrum from don't take a parking spot all the way to shut the entire street down and everything in between. So that's exactly what public input is for. We've got all that listed. That continues to be available.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there. There's no official date for closing the public comments on that, but he did say during yesterday's press conference that that'll probably be soon, as the project does need to go out for design. Well, it is Drowsy Driving Prevention Week. The goal, to educate people on the dangers of driving while drowsy. The Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles says not to drive if you're tired, because fatigue can slow down your thought process and reaction time, affect your judgment, vision, and impair your sense and abilities. It can also cause micro-sleeping or nodding off or completely falling asleep. Well, the area's only Dodge's gas station appears to have shut down. The station on East 9 Mile Road unexpectedly closed yesterday. The gas pumps were taped off. The store's Facebook page says it's permanently closed. The location is also no longer listed on Dodge's list of locations online. Governor DeSantis talking up Florida's investment in workforce education, specifically nursing education. He was yesterday in Daytona. He says enrollment in nursing programs at state colleges is up by 25%, and for the university system,
we now have 1,800 nursing graduates. That is a record high for our state university system.
And he says that those are all quality graduates as well. The average passing rate for the state university system for the major nursing exam is at 92%. That's above the national average of 90%. It is 7:35 at News Radio, 92.3, and John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, but we are seeing slowdowns on I-10 eastbound all the way to Pine Forest, all the way to Highway 29, and also on Highway 29 if you're headed southbound toward 9 Mile Road, seeing a major backup there, so plan for an extra 15, 20 minutes if that's your way to commute. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
We will be seeing some scattered showers and thunderstorms through the day today. 70% chance of rain. High near 85 degrees. Low overnight near 71. For Thursday, 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 84. Thursday night temperatures dropping near 73. High rain chances for Friday with a 90% chance of rain and a high near 84. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Taking a look at our temperatures. 76 degrees here in Pensacola and 76 also in Gulf Breeze. It is 74 in Milton. Our next news in 30 minutes. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Electronics makers want to jump on the AI bandwagon by including it in their devices. While Qualcomm is out with a possible solution, the chip giant has launched a new PC processor, the Snapdragon X Plus 8 Core. The new tech ramps up efforts to challenge the dominance of Intel at a time when that company is facing mounting challenges. As soon as next month, President Biden may reportedly try to forgive student debt once again in a wide-ranging do-over that could impact 25 million Americans. It's according to a CNBC report, which adds that the Biden administration has already approved $169 billion in loan forgiveness so far, mostly through fixes through long-troubled relief initiatives. Well, yesterday on Wall Street was not a great day, and today may not be much better. Futures are slightly lower, extending yesterday's losses in what was the market's worst day in a month. The Nasdaq lost 3%. That's Your Money Now.
Did you know the Port of Pensacola is more than just a name? It's the economic engine of Northwest Florida, a strategic powerhouse fueling growth with over 30 top-tier businesses like CEMEX, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and soon, the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the port has been the heartbeat of our region's success, driving prosperity and opportunity. Discover the force behind our future at portofpensacola.com.
You know, if you're thinking about that next vehicle or, you know, maybe trying to decide if now is the right time to get that next car. I don't know if you're like me and maybe you're not, but if you are, you put this off because you don't like doing it. Like, who likes buying a car? It's so obnoxious and just every part of it is daunting to the point where you just don't want to tackle it, right? And so as a result, you probably drive a car longer than you should. You know, you put up with that car, you endure that car when you should be enjoying your car. And you certainly shouldn't be keeping a car so long that you're worried that it's not reliable and starts costing you more money than it'd be worth to replace it. That's why you go to Frontier. Just even if you're like reluctant, go and look around. You'll find good quality used cars. You'll find very helpful people. And you'll find out that, you know, car buying can be a not so painful experience. And then you get good information and you make a decision. Is now the time? What's available? What do I want to do? And probably you'll wind up getting a car, either one they have, they can go look for one for you, or at least you're in a better position to make a good decision about what to do next and not have to just keep putting up with a car that you don't really like anymore. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW.
Learn more at vfw.org.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Mayor D.C. Reeves, who we haven't talked to, I think, in about 3 weeks because of various scheduling and or travel issues, is back with us. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Glad to be back. Yeah, I left on Election Day. It feels like I've been gone a year, but I promise it hasn't been. It's been about 10 days or so.
Hey, good to have you. Good to have you. So I know part of your trip was you wanted to see the Seminoles game for the first game of the season over in Europe. So congratulations on your Seminoles' fine performance in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, no one can question my loyalty, at least. they might be able to after the first two games of the season. I don't know how many more I'll be watching at this rate, but I got a lot of things to do around here. I can't be wasting 3 hours and giving myself that kind of stress.
You could be attending like affordable housing committee meetings and anything
harder,
but watching the Seminoles lose.
Yeah.
Well, so exactly. No, how was the trip? Seriously, I mean, you were obviously over there partly for fun, but also partly for business because American Magic is competing in a variety of regattas in Barcelona, Spain. And I don't know, what did you see? What did you learn? What was it like to see that beautiful Pensacola insignia flying on the sail?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, yeah, the first part was just for fun, but the second part was great, really for lots of reasons. One, to be able to, connect with the team ownership, which, of course, they don't live in Pensacola. I don't get to do that as often. So I had a great conversation with Doug DeVos. Also, get the team leadership, remember, they've been over, it feels like yesterday, but they've been over there for a year and a half, since they've left Pensacola, all our team members and all that. They have 160 people on base right now. And then third, what was really interesting is I got to see their base there, which is temporary in nature, but it's probably as close to a smaller one of what the permanent headquarters will look like. So to get to see that in person, and we're just pointing out, hey, that 3D printer's coming with us, all those sales, this mezzanine, even some of the items that'll be coming to Pensacola. That was cool to see, kind of see it in real life and not on a drawing. So, but it's awesome. I mean, I tell folks all the time, you go see the operation of American Magic, you can't oversell it. Like the technology, the manpower, I would say the best sports apples to apples would be running probably 1.5 or 2 F1 games. That's what it reminds me of in terms of like how immersed in all the technology and innovation that goes into the project.
Well, I mean, you name dropped the DeVos, but I mean, that's the Amway family. These are billionaires. They own the Heat or the Magic, Magic, right? Anyway, sailing at this level is a billionaire's game. And clearly that level of technology is evident. And, one of the things I think that the sort of average people, myself included, what has captivated us about the American Magic concept in Pensacola was maybe we can get the World Cup here or the America's Cup here.
Right.
Just getting the team here with the technology and the jobs and the opportunity to cultivate other teams and to be a teaching facility, like, that's the story. If we never get anything else, that's still a great story.
Absolutely. And again, it's very real that you talk to team members, they love Pensacola. That was kind of the cool part. It kind of, telling me, I won't say who, but in confidence, like, man, we're ready to get over to back home, to Pensacola. Yeah. They've been in Barcelona for a year and a half. And whether it's manufacturing, I mean, there's so many opportunities outside of just the front-facing sailing tournament. There's so many opportunities to help boost our community. That's what I love about this project. It really is amazing. And they're excited to be back. We're certainly excited to have them. And you know what? if we could host an America's Cup, that and what it, I mean, be, it would only be, you know, the biggest event in 500 years here.
No, I'm hopeful, obviously, and you know they've had a bit of a mixed record, but at this point it's mostly avoiding elimination, and you know we'll obviously see what happens in the future. One couple of notes I want to talk about the airport for a second. One thing is I really like the Get Smart doors, the exit lane that you now go through, the series of you know open and close and shut right behind you doors. I love it. That seems to be a very efficient, whereas the other system, the walking around and the windy corridor. That seemed to be inefficient. This seems to be more secure, and this will create space for the queuing line for TSA, right?
Sorry, say that one more time.
This is more efficient, more secure, and it'll create queuing space for the TSA line.
Right, yes, exactly. Well, and you know, like everything else, it's more expensive than you would ever imagine doors would be.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to create more space, make it easier getting in and out. You know, I forget the exact number Matt tells me, but how many thousands of people it can get through in an hour. And then all the crazy technology you need in an airport, like throwing an item. If someone was trying to throw an item into the secure area, that, you know, all the technology that goes with those doorways. So, you know, I learned a lot about it when I saw them install it. And so, yeah, it's something you may not notice when you go through. But you're safer because of it. It's easier. And like you said, probably most importantly, front facing to the citizen is more room for TSA to get their job done.
I really do think, though, that the theme music playing while you're in the corridor should be the Get Smart music. And if you don't do that, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, we can do that.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. We're seeing some delays all the way back to Pine Forest on I-10 eastbound, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Okay, so good news. I had great experiences at the airport. Bad news, I saw all the trees missing at the airport. We knew this was coming. I know buildings cost trees. I get it. But what has been done, or what is there offsets? Is this the tree planting trust fund? Like all of the trees that went away around the new parking area, around the new ST projects, the storage facilities that were torn down. When you drive 12th Avenue now, it just looks like a hurricane came through. What's been done or is going to be done to, I don't know, replant, replace, shift elsewhere? Tell me what's happening here.
Yeah, so obviously that's a process that took place years and years ago, right? When the agreement came through for Hangar 3, and I believe you probably be more on top of it at that time than I was of, you know, with all the property acquisition that took place back there to have the property to put the hangars, you know, in the mid-2010s.
Right.
You know, that was, like you said, it was a long time coming. But I don't know that we're going back there and saying, hey, you're this tree down, this tree up. But what I'll say as a whole is, you know, we've done everything that we can. Number one, I thought a big step in this administration was actually spending tree trust fund money. We used to argue about it a lot and not spend any of it. And so we've started that process. And secondly, we got the biggest tree grant in the history of the city, about $1 million for urban forestry that allows us to use it more specific to lower income areas that lack tree canopy and shade when they walk or bike to work or to a playground. We certainly have, I would say, not dependent upon what you're speaking of in the specific project. We certainly are motivated and have been proactive in trying to do everything that we can to build up our tree canopy across the city. As it pertains to the agreement and how all that operated when trees went down, that is nothing that's ever hit my desk. And I don't even know that it was Mayor Robinson's. I would have to go back and look. It's been quite a while since that decision was made.
I think what it was is, and again, there's nothing to be done about it now particularly. And I think it was just more of a shock to me, even though I knew it was coming, to see all three of those projects simultaneously remove so many of these gorgeous trees. And what I was also thinking is, like, you know, when Baptist built their hospital, they built it around the two groves. And when Ascension Sacred Heart did their medical facility down south of there just a block or two, they kept one line of trees on 12th Avenue. And I guess I was kind of hoping that something more like that had happened, which, of course, it didn't. It was totally clear cut. I did have listeners suggest, though, that maybe the giant blank space that's going to be the side of buildings 3 and 4 eventually seems like an opportunity for a mural space that would be publicly visible, maybe even paintings of trees. You know, it's not as good as real trees, but it might be something. So that might be something to pursue long term. You're meeting with ST, but you're meeting tomorrow, right? So we won't know anything until after that meeting about the Chilean workers and other concerns about local hires and all that.
Right, exactly. And again, I want to reshift focus. There's a lot of conjecture out there about, well, I thought this and then I changed my mind. What I'm hyper focused on with ST is, what are your obligations to do what you say you're going to do? Where does that stand, and where do we need to be in workforce development as a community? That's what I'm focused on. This is not, I was asked last week, should this be a public meeting? No, it shouldn't be a public meeting. What we're trying to do is get an outcome, get information from them and get an outcome. This is not the same way every time we meet with American Magic, it's not a public meeting. Or if we have an internal issue, it's not a public meeting. You know, we're trying to get something that's a net positive for the community, and just make sure that our partners doing what they say they're going to do and see where we stand. And certainly we'll be reporting back to that. And when there's public comment, needed on the topic, certainly there's already been a lot of public comment. And I'm sure we'll continue to have public conversation about the project moving forward.
I already know there are going to be things we're not going to get to today, but I did have two that I wanted to try to get to. One is the old medical facility on Palafox. That had come kind of in the news as a being for sale. Is there any interest? What's the future of that property? Because that's just been sitting there blighted for as long as I've lived here, 10 years.
Yeah, it's the unfortunate situation where an out-of-town buyer buys a property and then is now, has the gall to market it as, well, the city's about to put a bunch of money into Hollis C. Williams, and that's why it's worth all this money. So what I can tell you today is it's in violation of code, and I don't know what the fines are or what the because plywood and broken windows is not a permanent fix. That's a temporary fix. So I do know it's out of compliance with code. That doesn't mean anything for the sale. And certainly, we're looking at our dollars for the grant that with the $30 million we got for Hollis C. Williams does allow us to acquire things. So I would never say never about anything, but not at the exorbitant price that's being listed now. So I know there's been conversations over the years with this buyer, and the price has fluctuated wildly. If we get to something reasonable or within reason, certainly I'd entertain it. But we're looking at other surrounding properties, potential expansion of the lake there, the pond, Long Hollow, and we'll see what happens.
Last of the substantial question for the day is HCA Florida West Hospital has built a new parking structure. I think we're the first to report on it. When you drive up University, you can't miss it. It's giant. It's 6 stories tall. It's going to have 600 new spaces. It's all going to be free, some for public, some for doctors, some for employees. But 600 spaces, and the price tag is $26 million. And when you do the math, that's $43,000 a space. That's 50% more than even the $30,000 sticker shock that you guys had been bandying about for a while. What does that price tag mean for the future of any parking structure anywhere near downtown?
Yeah. I said earlier, no price surprises you anymore. That's an outrageous number. But I'll tell you where we are is we're looking at, I believe I'll have something on my desk in October, that we're going to hire a firm to give us kind of a feasibility study of a potential downtown garage and multiple sets or locations, sizes. Would there be first floor retail on the front, which would obviously add to the expense, and or not? So we're going to kind of get some experts in the room and kind of say, all right, well, this is what a potential garage downtown would look like. And truly, it's not. I know it sounds convenient on the parking topic. We wouldn't be having this conversation if there wasn't real revenue coming from parking. So, that allows us to start having conversations. And so that's happening now, in terms of just really, I hate to call it a feasibility study. It's a little more detailed than that, but it's kind of a feasibility / schematic study about what a garage downtown would look.
But I just couldn't believe that number, $43,000 a space. It's just, it's just unbelievable.
I can't.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, we always like to end off with a lightning round. Quick questions for you. When you're texting, are you two thumbs, index finger, two index finger, or as some monsters do it, one index finger and one thumb?
I'm a single thumb.
One thumb. Okay.
One eye on the screen and one eye on the other screen.
I gotcha. Swimming, essential skill or nice skill to have?
I mean, I grew up in Perdido Key. I think it's an essential. It's absolutely essential, isn't it? Is it nice to have?
I tend to think so as well, but we talked about it because not everybody can swim, obviously. And then the last one is, tell me something like ranch or barbecue or whatever that you always try to get the last little tiny bit of out of the container because you feel like they're robbing you if you don't get it all.
Yeah, I've been tried and true 40 years now, or I guess maybe 36 years now of, any fast food chicken is barbecue always. No deviations, maybe a little buffalo sauce, but barbecue sauce would definitely be everything you can get out of the little square container.
Okay, so you're scraping the container out with the chicken or the whatever it is that you would dip in it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Be honest, you're in public right now. If there's a little left after you got the chicken done, do you lick in there?
Depends on how hungry I am.
that's a man's answer. I'll take that. That's allowable.
I'll never say never. but I would say it's unlikely.
People found it a little bit weird that I sometimes lick the butter wrapper after I unroll the stick of butter. But, everybody's got their thing. Mayor D.C. Reese, Mayor of Pensacola, we'll talk to you again next week. Sir, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. Welcome back to America.
All right. Thank you.
7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. But if you're traveling from Payson to Pensacola, you're going to see some major delays backing up right. It's a scenic highway there. Backed up maybe 5-10 minute delay. And also seeing delays Highway 29 and 9 Mile. And then even continuing southbound on Highway 29 toward I-10, you're going to see some major delays there.
That's probably that ramp.
Yeah.
The Ramp of Despair reconfiguration. Woohoo!
And that's it for the traffic. I'm John Pickens, the traffic on the fives.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today at 9. On the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing the Atlas X Brother Fox Collaboration Dinner, Atlas Beverage Class, Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, along with Jackson's Cooking Class and Angelina's Supper Club. That's all today at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Is this in 3D?
No, but your face is.
.758 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris expected to announce an economic proposal that she says would help small businesses today. She's in New Hampshire on the campaign trail, of course, but she'll be outlining proposed tax deductions for small business startups. And that plan would actually increase a tax deduction from $5,000 to $50,000.
Yeah, what I actually wonder is if Trump isn't going to say, I'll make it $100,000. since we're apparently in a bidding war to give away money.
There we go.
But look, it's a tax cut for small businesses. Who can really be against it? I know some Republicans are going to be like, well, it's got to be bad because it's her. No, it's a good idea. 92.